Yeah, yo. Yeah, yo. Moon la la. Yeah, yo. Bitch, better have my money.
What do we call this place the last time?
I have no idea.
Live from El Oficina. It's the 286th edition of Houston Wrestling Radio. I'm a little dyslexic.
Dyslexic,
yeah. Apparently. This is Abel.
This is Arnold.
Thank you so much for tuning in today, guys. Another change of scenery again. Craziness with weather and Comcast ruining stuff. They said that it's our box outside that's in our neighbor's yard that has the outlet that connects to everything to the phone lines that probably have water in it or something, but they can't check it because they have dogs. The lady has dogs. So I don't know. We'll figure it out. But if you're joining us live, thank you so much. We very much appreciate that. You could interact with us. It's easy for me to say. Right here on the YouTube page, if you log into your YouTube or Google account, and I'll have you pulled up right here on the old handy-dandy smartphone. And if you want to say hi, ask us questions, talk shit, fact-check us, whatever, I'll see it, and I'll try to involve you the best I can in the show. If you're not watching us live, that's okay. You can still interact with us on Facebook, facebook.com/Houston Wrestling Radio, or on Twitter at @HWrestlingRadio, or on the Instagrams, Houston Wrestling Radio. So.
On the gram, as the kids would say.
The gram, yes. Yes. So, that's that. Arnold, we had a lot of stuff happen this week. Probably the biggest thing, something that Chris seemed like he was a little bit more excited about, because he was texting us about this.
Yeah, normally Chris doesn't really, he's MIA until like 5 minutes before the show.
Yeah, usually. And then, but today, he was talking to us about it. It's like, hey, you need to talk about this on the show, which I was already planning on anyway, which is WWE is selling SmackDown to Fox, or shopped out SmackDown to Fox. So SmackDown might wind up being on a Fox affiliate. Everybody here would assume that's just, you know,
Fox 26 Heat Local.
Yeah, the regular Fox station where American Idol is on. But you also brought up a point. It could be FX or Fox Sports 1 or some other
FXX.
Crazy.
It could be a lot of different things. Just like technically WWE is on NBC Universal, but they're on USA.
On USA.
So, you know, Fox could mean a lot of things. That's why it's Fox and Friends.
Fox and Friends, yes. Now, apparently, Fox is dishing out $1 billion to have SmackDown for 5 years.
Okay.
Now, that sounds like a lot of cashola, a lot of dinero. That sounds like mind-boggling to me. When I hear $1 billion for 5 years worth of SmackDown, I'm like, holy shit, WWE's getting paid, and they fleeced these guys. But Chris, he kind of threw a little bit of perspective on that, and he sent this to us in our DMs. He slid up into our DMs.
Yes, he did.
Yes, as he always does. He said, all right, I got to find it here. Some quick math for you guys here to use on the show tonight. $1 billion for 5 years. That's $200 million a year. 52 shows per year. It adds up to $3.8 million per live 2-hour episode. All right. That still sounds like a pretty penny.
I'm already lost, but go ahead.
All right. 3.8 for one episode of SmackDown. All right. $3.8 million for one episode of SmackDown. It's 2 hours and it's live. Now, he said to put this in perspective, CBS is paying about $9 million per episode for The Big Bang Theory, which is just a half-hour show.
Yeah.
So, okay.
I don't know what that means.
Like, at all?
Yeah, like, well, what does it mean? They spent so much money on for this show, and they spent money on...
Well, I mean, I know noted cheapskate Arnold Ramirez I think would be a little bit more quick to snap on this. Mm-hmm. Basically, you have a 2-hour show.
Yeah.
And you're paying almost $4 million, 3.8.
Yeah, yeah.
All right. And you think, oh, shit, that's a lot of money.
Yeah.
But then you have, let's say, Big Bang Theory. That's a half hour show. You're paying $9 million for that.
Uh-huh.
So maybe WWE isn't as ballin' as I thought they would. I mean, just look at the ticket amount, I would say.
Yeah.
You know, the price tag on there. Price tag for a 2-hour Raw is $4 million.
What almost. Is it like right now? Is that what it is right now?
SmackDown. I don't know.
Exactly. So it could be up for all we know.
Well, that's what I was just saying. It's food for thought. And that's not something that I thought about until Chris just sent that in. Yeah. Now,
for me personally, I don't give a shit where it's at. I'm going to watch it. So I don't boycott any fucking any channels. I don't not watch channels unless I don't have them, like El Rey or some bullshit like that.
Right.
Honestly, this news doesn't mean shit to me. It doesn't mean nothing to me. Like, that just means, okay, I got a DVR, another channel rather than USA
right.
on Tuesday.
And, you know, that's kind of the biggest big whoop part of it. Because I kind of feel like that, too. Because when Raw went from USA to TNT, like, okay, big whoop. So what?
TNN, then Spike.
Well, whatever. I'm still going to watch it anyway. And then, SmackDown was on UPN for a while. Then WB and... now it's also on USA. Yeah. Big whoop. I don't care.
For that.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like, so what? I don't care. Me as an average fan and average viewer, it doesn't really matter. But I did see something else that was kind of interesting that might have you think a little bit. Like, if you don't care about the numbers, I found the numbers interesting. Obviously, Chris found the numbers interesting, but he's not here to defend himself. You don't give a damn about the numbers. Maybe some people do, some people don't.
Yeah.
But here's another thing that I just saw floating around the webs today with some other pundits. Far more, you know, smart than us.
Yeah.
They were saying that this might be a big shift in what happens as far as pay-per-views go. And if you are on Fox, not on basic cable, if you're on terrestrial TV, the big channel, then you're going to have more eggs in the basket of ratings.
Yeah.
So does that mean that they're going to change their focus from having only the best matches at the pay-per-views to, fuck, we got to boost up the ratings for SmackDown so that we can earn that $4 million that we're getting per episode.
Yeah.
So you know what? We got to have, you know, big-time money matches on SmackDown. And is that going to be good or bad for the business? Or good or bad for you or me?
I don't see where that would be bad. It's putting good quality matches every single time you can get it. So, yeah, I mean, that's like, oh, hey, don't perform as well on the pay-per-view because we got to get these ratings on Fox Live. Like, no, people pay per this view. So,
okay,
you got to, you know, whatever. I mean, that's what I think about it. I don't see any complaints on my end. Maybe if the quality of wrestling will get better, that's better for everybody else, too.
Okay, so the complaint of why are they giving this fucking match away for free?
God, I hate that.
You don't care.
So
you don't care about that.
I think only nerds say that. But yeah.
Okay. Chris and I usually bring that up.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Nerds.
Point taken.
Yeah. All right. Seth, welcome. Michael, welcome. Thank you for joining us live. I see you guys in the live chat here. Seth says I haven't watched since the Greatest Royal Rumble.
There you go.
There you go. All right.
You ain't missed much.
WWE's been lackluster.
Chris stopped watching, apparently.
Yeah, apparently. Michael says, oh, the reference to Fox and Friends. Yes, see, somebody got the pun. Robert Medlin.
Hey, he's meddling early today.
Yes. What's up, man? Thank you for joining us live. He says, what's up, guys? I'm wondering if that's why Fox just had a mass TV show cancellation. And will they extend SmackDown to 3 hours? All right. Will you give a shit about this story if that means SmackDown's now instead of 2 hours, 3 hours. Now, do you care either way?
No, that just means I get an extra hour of wrestling, or I don't.
Is that too much wrestling?
No.
I like wrestling. Yeah, but I like wrestling too. I frequently, when I'm sitting down, watching Raw, goddamn, Raw's too fucking long. You don't ever feel that way?
No.
No?
Yeah. If I didn't want to watch something, I wouldn't watch it.
All right.
So, like, if it's 7 hours long, I don't want to watch that fucking shit. You know what I mean? If it was 5 hours long, I don't know. But, like, 3 hours, it's fine. Whenever it was 2 hours, I was like, man, it's not enough.
Really?
Yeah, I like wrestling. But the only thing is, like, my only complaint about the 3-hour thing is the only thing I hate about it is whenever you can clearly see they ran out of shit. So they just, oh, this is what happened earlier when Roman Reigns, and then they replay it. It's like,
yeah,
all right, that's stupid. But
like a half hour of the show is replaced.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But other than that, no. I mean, I'm sure my wife would like it if it was only 2 hours. So I could spend more time with the family. But
right.
Other than that, they watch it with me, so it's all good to me.
Okay. All right. Okay, so that's that. I mean, do you have anything else to say? I mean, do you care? I mean, no?
Nah, I mean, I don't think it's a big deal for people like us who are going to consume it regardless. People who, like, have stock and shit like that or care about all that, because, you know, we're not even going to see any of this shit happen for the next year and a half or so. So,
right.
I mean, I'll cross that bridge when we get there.
Okay.
And I'll complain about it.
Yeah, exactly. And you'll complain about it. I don't know. As somebody that has watched wrestling all their life, and I will continue to watch it, and I don't care where SmackDown goes, it's not a big deal for me as far as my fandom.
Yeah.
But as far as the making sure I watch everything so that, you know, I have material for HWR, it depends. How are they going to do it? Are they going to switch it to Fridays? Are they going to still keep it on Tuesday nights? Are they going to make it 3 hours or not? Then I might have personal complaints or joys about it.
It really
depends. So, again, we got to cross that bridge when we get to it. As far as the making of the money, it's not going into my pocket, but I do find it interesting because I like to you know, I know it's a long shot, but hell, if I ever made it to WWE one day,
yeah,
that'd be fucking awesome. And I'd like to know what the company is doing.
Yeah.
So if they're making more money, great. But just the nerdy side of it, wow, I can't believe Big Bang Theory is getting 9 million for a half hour, for 30 minutes, you know?
Yeah.
Whereas, you know, SmackDown is 2 hours, it's getting almost 4. Damn, that's interesting as far as the math goes. And I guess it kind of shows you where WWE and wrestling in general is still in the world. You know, you can have 4 times the length of a show and still get paid about half.
Mm.
That's interesting.
Yeah. But
how does that compare to any other sports? I have no idea. But whatever. That's just me.
That's it. Yeah.
All right. Seth says, does SmackDown moving to Fox help the XFL being on that network?
Potentially.
Maybe.
Potentially, yeah. That'd be interesting to see if, what day of the week the XFL would be on.
Mm-hmm.
You'd get Raw. I mean, you'd get SmackDown on Tuesday, XFL Thursday.
Well, is the XFL going to be on Fox?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know either. I mean, I guess that would depend on Fox.
Yeah, I don't know. That's a good question. As far as I know, they haven't said anything on where it's going to be.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that's that. That was kind of the biggest news thing that people are going about. But you want to get to a little bit of actual wrestling, Raw, yeah. SmackDown, all that? All right, where do you want to start?
Where can we start? I have a little rundown of the show. This is the second week in a row. We're nothing without Chris on the show. Chris always gets here and gives us a rundown. I work on Wednesdays. Abel does personal stuff on Wednesdays. So we don't really have the time to gather up the, you know, schedule for the show, what we're going to talk about, what we're not going to talk about. So I'm just reading the list. Raw had Roman's versus KO to start.
Mm-hmm.
And then it turned into a tag team match with Seth Rollins, who's goddamn, dude. That dude, every time he comes out, his pop gets louder. I think
Seth?
I think Seth has the biggest pop in WWE right now. Every time he comes out, you can hear that fucking the roar of the crowd, man. It's really good, and I love watching that from him because it's like he's pushing his Intercontinental title as if it's the premier title, because it technically is, because Brock ain't there.
Brock isn't there.
And he's saying it on like Twitter and all that shit, so I think they're going to lead to a feud because – WWE does not, you know, isn't stupid. They always know what to tell their people to tweet. So they love their hashtags. So they're going to keep that going. And I think it's going to be an eventual feud. There wasn't an open challenge this week. So he like did the tag team or whatever, but I mean, it was solid. It was a solid as a,
it was 3 commercial breaks.
Yeah. It was the whole segment was long as fuck.
But you like wrestling.
But I like wrestling, so I was like, I was enjoying it. Match of the week candidate, Alexa Bliss versus Ember Moon. Dude, that match was that was a delight. They worked instantly well together. I don't know if Alexa was around when Ember was in NXT. I don't know if the shift had already happened where Alexa got called up. I don't know how long Ember's been in there. But that's the second time we see them like in the ring together. The first time was like that surprise entrance or whatever. Damn, dude, these girls bring it together. They bring out the best in each other. I'm very curious to see how the Money in the Bank's gonna go with these two girls.
Oh yeah,
how they're gonna put everything in there.
I definitely thought they had a good match. If I want to throw out a candidacy for match of the week for that match, I feel free. Mm-hmm. Yeah, sure, why not? It was good. The Eclipse is just
shit. It never gets old.
The Eclipse never gets old. So yeah, man. But I don't know if there's anything else really remarkable to say that came out of it. As far as it was a good match, that like it piqued the interest for the women's Money in the Bank match. But other than that, I don't think there was really
Raw in general was kind of like that. There was a lot of matches on Raw, but and a lot of storyline slow advancement. Like you had the B team with their new theme and everything.
Yeah,
in their
shirt. Was cool. That was a really good
thing. They took on Breezango again, beat Breezango again. I'm saying nothing.
I love how they were. They had the Sharpies and they were still drawing the B on their shirts. Yeah. That was
like,
funny.
It was another match, nothing new to see here, but it was still good to see them, you know, get propped up. Mm-hmm. Ziggler versus Gable was a pretty decent match.
Yes.
It was real crisp, real. Whatever they're doing, I like it with Ziggler. They're keeping him still kind of fresh and relevant, but not like overexposing him to where you're like, oh, this guy again. Yeah. I really wish they would change his theme song to him because that is whack. And like,
oh, the little scratch of the scratch. Record.
And then that song's. That song was old in 2011, so they need to re-up on a song for that. the qualifying match, it was Natalia, Dana Brooke, Sarah Logan, and Liv Morgan. That was a pretty good match. Liv Morgan continues to prove to me that she's getting there as far as her in-ring is really good.
She's improving still.
Yeah, she's got a lot of improvement that she's made. She looks good doing it as far as, like, the crispness of the move. Sarah Logan's the opposite. Every time she's in the ring, I kind of like, don't
really
fuck it up. Yeah, she just has like a real aggressive way of wrestling, which I like, but it's kind of cringy because it's like, man, she looks like she's gonna hurt somebody soon.
Think so? I haven't seen that yet. I've just seen a lack of pizzazz for her. Lack of pizzazz doesn't necessarily mean dangerous. Those are two different things on the sliding scale. If you think she's cringy, well, that's your opinion. I don't think it's cringy yet. I think it's just
– I just worry.
Boring.
Yeah, I just worry a bit.
Okay.
One thing that about Raw that didn't stand out but stood out, like whenever I first saw it, I was like, again? Bobby Roode versus Elias? Like, dude, that's like their fifth time in the last like 4 weeks. But the match was all right. I'm not going to say I paid full attention to it because I was like, we've seen this before. I know what happens. Elias got the win clean, so I was like, okay, that's good, because maybe that's a finish of their little feud and see what goes on to the next. Because yeah, dude, Elias is still over like Rover, man. He's really over. He wheeled them all in because you're like, oh, is he a face now? Because he was like catering to him, and then nah, fuck you.
That's what I was about to say. Elias is really cool, but it's a very curious case of what's actually going on with Elias, because he's definitely a heel, but he's also a babyface, but he's not trying to ride the line of being a tweener.
Yeah.
He's like definitely a heel, but he says things that definitely gets face reactions, and he's trying to elicit those reactions and then turns it on them and gets the heel reactions, which like most of the time, especially in this day and age, if you're a heel and people like you, they start cheering you and then they eventually stop booing you. Elias isn't kind of like that. Elias, he'll get the cheers when he wants to get them, but then he'll get the boos when he wants to get them. And
it
might be because of cheap heat, quote unquote, but it's still heat nonetheless, and he's still playing his role right. So either building his renown.
The person who's done it best of what Elias is doing, and this is a great comparison for Elias, that's 1998 The Rock. Whenever he was just being that total dick. But like everyone loved his catchphrases. Mm. Everyone loved, he was a heel, but we all liked him. It was Attitude Era, so we liked all the bad guys anyway.
Right.
But that's what Elias, it's the same kind of like vibe I'm getting with Elias, or it's like you hate to love him and then you just love him.
Okay.
That's what I was.
So,
for me.
So you think
when
eventually,
the character first came out, I was like, this is whack.
You think eventually he's gonna be full on blown out babyface eventually?
Yeah, he should be.
Okay. All right. So I mean we kind of talked about a lot of good stuff on Raw. I think there's one more really, really big good thing to talk about, but I gotta throw this out there. The biggest thing that stood out to me, and it stood out like a fucking sore thumb, was the terrible, terrible segment with Sami Zayn and Bobby Lashley.
Totally trying to avoid that. Yeah, that was terrible. Yeah. It was it reminded me of the old day, remember?
The old day? Like, not New Day?
Yeah, the New Day feud with Gallows and Anderson. And then Gallows and Anderson brought out, like, the old day. And it was like, they were all dressed up. It was just.
Or the Bayley, This Is Your Life.
Yeah, it was just like. Yeah. And I, whenever I saw that, I think I even said that on the show last week. Like, him bringing on the sisters has Bayley, This Is Your Life written all over. And it was. It was bad. It was kind of funny here and there. But I think it was all. Sammy that was making it funny because he's still that.
Sammy was trying to make it work.
Yeah. He knew he was fucking working with hot garbage. The guys knew they were kind of working with crap, so they were kind of putting their own little oomph into it. I hate to say it, but the person who really ruined that segment was Lashley.
All right, if we want to talk about execution of the actual bit itself, I'd say the worst executed, or the worst executioner, I guess you say, was definitely Lashley. Lashley tried to go out there and. I could see that somebody fed him this as like a road agent or booker or director or whatever you want to call it, say, hey, you're going to try to let it roll off your back and actually laugh at it, and then you're going to kick his ass.
Yeah.
But he didn't really pull it off. Like, he tried to, but instead of making it look like he's a tough guy who's, I'm laughing, Rob, I'm going to kill you. No, it just turned out he came off like he was a dumbass.
Yeah.
You know, and not a tough guy at all. He just came out looking like an idiot, and it just didn't work. So if we're talking about execution of the plan, I don't think it went very well.
Yeah.
Now, should this have been a plan at all from the get-go? Dude, I don't know, man. It was just bad. Like, okay, you want to talk about big cast and, you know, with the little person. Like, all right, that kind of shit back in the Attitude Era, you know, Shawn Michaels holding his palm out, the little person trying to swing in, that kind of, okay, yeah, that kind of went over in the Attitude Era. The Bayley, This Is Your Life stuff, where that was terrible. Like, all of these type of segments have been really, really, really bad. But I would argue that this is probably the worst that I have seen in a long, long, long time. And I think it's not only because of the execution, because Sammy tried to make it work.
Mm-hmm.
But why even book that in this day and age? In the time of, like, you know, Me Too and fucking, you know, women's liberation and feminist stuff, you're going to have a bunch of dudes go out there and drag. Like, all that was all over Twitter was so many people talking about transphobia and all your hating on all these people. And, man, I don't know.
Stupid.
No, I don't know if I could argue against that, man. I mean,
it's not real, you know.
It's not
going
real.
But girls, like, if you would have brought out actual girls, it would have been even worse. You know what would have been?
What?
Oh, you're saying all three black girls because they all look the same. They're all sisters because they're all. You just, like, it's so stupid. You just get all.
Yeah.
You go there, but it was a stupid segment. But it was more of like a, who said it? Robert said it best. It was 100% Vince
idea.
Oh,
it was definitely a Vince idea.
Yeah, for sure.
Because it was definitely socially tone deaf right now in this day and age.
It was socially tone deaf. It was just dumb. It was
both. I
don't know about all that. It was like beyond its time as far as comedy. Like, it was dumb. It was dumb. It was just, it was silly. And the WWE, for the most part, doesn't try to market silly anymore. They try to, you know.
Well, no, they do market silly because look at New Day.
I was saying too much, but like even the New Day, that was organic. That was them being funny, and then just man, that's where they go with it. But like silly, what I mean is like this, like ridiculous. Like, come on, man.
Yeah.
It was just dumb, dude. It was just a bad segment. The crowd wasn't into it. They clapped because I forgot what it was like. Something in the segment that they clapped for, but it was just miserable. It was dumb. But the whole any phobias about it. No, it was just a dumb bit. Like it was. I don't know, my opinion. But yeah, that was bad. It was just about as bad as the Nia Ronda Stephanie segment.
That's exactly what Robert just brought up in the live chat.
It's that wasn't a good segment. I guess Nia's going to be the next big show because now she's a heel again.
Yeah, I don't know. That's kind of weird.
Didn't even give her a month as a face.
It just flip-flopped her for no reason. And, you know, I even said that about the thing that was on the red carpet, that she acted a little bit too heelish when she actually said the thing.
Yeah.
You know, but before and immediately after she wasn't. And I was like, oh, okay, that execution was kind of bad. But then they actually went through with it and just, like, switched her.
Yeah.
And it's like, dude, that's not the Nia I want to see right now. Mm-mm. I don't think it does Nia any favors as a character and as a wrestler in her career. No. I don't think it does the championship any favors. I don't think it does the women's division any favors because you're having a champ that's not establishing anything. You know, you're already changing it up. It's like, dude, no, man.
Yeah, that was those three bad segments. That was that one, the Sami Zayn one, and the beginnings of the Roman one with Kurt Angle. It's like my friend, my buddy Hector said it best. It's like they're trying to do the Reigns versus establishment. When Angle, Reigns and it's like when Reigns is the establishment, like he's their guy.
Like, dude, you've been in the main event.
At least it wasn't as transparent as it was, you know, back in the day whenever we were like kids and we were like, oh, Stone Cold, this guy was really against the, they're trying to fuck him over. But in actual reality, he was their guy that they were trying to push down their throats.
It's like they're trying, they're like, oh man, this worked for Stone Cold, so let's try that there. Oh, you know what? He's The Rock's cousin. Let's bring The Rock out. Let's try that. You know, they're probably gonna try
this everything. Would have maybe worked if he hadn't headlined four WrestleManias before.
Exactly. They're gonna try so much shit that I'm afraid that if they keep pulling stuff from the past and pulling templates from the past and just like inserting Roman and changing it up, you're eventually gonna run out of templates.
Yeah.
And then you're also stifling originality.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Shawn Michaels was the first Shawn Michaels. Mm-hmm. Stone Cold was the first Stone Cold. Ric Flair wasn't technically the first Nature Boy, but
you think Ric Flair.
Right. Yeah. But there's nothing that says Roman right now. Like you're trying to make Roman into Stone Cold.
Yes.
And it's not working.
Or even then, CM Punk. That's the first thing I thought of. Okay. They were trying to deal with the whole anti-establishment. CM Punk's the first thing I thought of, and then Stone Cold. And it's not working. It's just, yeah, in this day and age, that doesn't work. In this day and age, what would work is if Samoa Joe did that. What would have worked if, like, Seth Rollins, maybe now Seth Rollins already had this, but just...
Well, I mean, shit, it worked for Bryan.
Yeah, exactly, because he hadn't headlined four WrestleManias in a row. Mm-hmm. In fact, he lost one in 15 seconds on a pre-show.
Yeah. Well, it wasn't pre-show. It was like the fucking...
Oh, yeah, it was like WrestleMania. Like, yeah. The sun was still out, so it wasn't WrestleMania.
it's not WrestleMania until the sun goes down.
Unless I get changed otherwise, my current, I don't know, fuck it. Let's just say match of the week candidate, but really high up there is Finn Balor versus Braun Strowman.
I will agree with you,
boy,
sir.
Boy, that match was fun. Now, at first, I was fearful of it. I was like, oh, they're going to destroy Finn because they're going to push Braun.
Yeah.
Or they're going to destroy Braun and try to change their mind about Finn, but no, they worked it out perfect.
Yeah,
this match worked out perfect for both of them.
Okay,
it showed Finn's resilience. It still showed Braun's dominance. It showed Braun's endurance because that was a long match, and he hung with the quick guy.
He did,
and it was good. But also, Finn hung with the strong guy.
Yeah. Finn showed his ring IQ in the way that he was trying to
beat him.
Especially in the early going of the match where he was like evading everything and making sure that he wasn't going to get hit by the big guy.
Yeah.
So trying to get in his little offense here and there. It made Finn look very smart as a wrestler.
Yep,
and that's exactly what you need for a little guy. Because little guys, you could just say, oh, they're speedy, and then that's it. But you need to be speedy and smart if you want to get big titles, you know, especially in WWE, where WWE is the land of the giants, you know. That's going to be how you get the little guys, quote unquote, over. Finn had a really good showing. I know that Braun won. I like Braun and I like Finn both.
I loved it.
So I'm okay with it.
He didn't after he won, bury him. He fucking picked him up.
Picked him up, yeah.
And then after, the last thing you see is him looking back at him and giving him a nod, like,
yeah, he gave him some respect.
Yeah, hell yeah. That was good.
Respect on it.
So, man, I'm really torn on who I want to win the Money in the Bank right now. But honestly, out of my top pick is probably them two. Whichever one of those two, I'm fine with.
Ooh.
I really want Balor to get his push, but Strowman, fuck, man. He's hot.
He's hot.
Yeah.
All right. Is that all for Raw?
That was all for Raw.
Are we done with Raw? All right. Unless
there's something I'm missing.
Unless there's something, I don't know. I can't think of it. Nothing's coming up in the chat that I can.
Yeah.
All right. So then let's go to SmackDown.
Get my handy dandy list here.
Oh, yes. There you go. The list. Yes. All right. So SmackDown. I think you are aware of this, but let's just go ahead and hit AJ versus
Nakamura.
Let's just go straight into it. I like AJ. I like Nakamura. I like them before they came to WWE, and I like their runs during WWE, even though Nakamura's been kind of weak. His run has been kind of weak.
His face run was.
Yeah. And the last few matches that they had have been continually getting better. The match that they had last night was also starting to get on par, where it was like, okay, it was going to start to be one of those matches where, you know, it was okay. Well, their scuffle or whatever, their segment, I guess you could say. You know, they're like doing stuff okay. And I think the whole thing was that we were supposed to find out what the stipulation is, mm-hmm. right? So after, you know, some back and forth, them talking, Nakamura cut a promo in broken English, and now I'm not sure where the line of reality is now. And that's kind of a good thing, because at first it was like, oh, you're not having him talk because he doesn't really know English. But no, he says he don't know English, but he does know English. And so he tries to cut a promo. He cuts a promo, but it's in broken English. Okay, well, how much of that is real, and how much is that him playing it up?
Yeah.
I don't know. So I'm kind of okay with it, because that line is blurred for me.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm cool with it. But there were some things I didn't understand.
Like what?
So, certain sentences I just didn't catch.
Oh, like, you mean like actually understand?
Like, what the fuck did you just say? Yeah. Like, I'm not sure. Whatever. Yeah, okay, whatever. Let's move on with the thing. But if you take that away and just go by the physicality, all right, fine. Let's go to a physical thing. And when Nakamura threw AJ back over the railing, and I think he did Kinshasa to the back of the head first. Mm-hmm. He started doing this thing, and I'm like, what the fuck is he doing? And he was like, and I'm like, is he trying to mock AJ Styles when he comes out at the very beginning at the top of the ramp? He does this, and then he goes like that. Like, is he trying to mock him, and he's just doing it kind of weird? I don't know what the fuck he's doing.
I saw instantly what he was doing.
I didn't see it till the second time, when I was like, oh, he's counting. He's
counting in Japanese.
Yeah, like, I couldn't tell what the fuck it was.
But I saw it first. In fact, I thought they fucked up, because I think he did it before he should have done it.
But that's why he did it again?
That's why he did it again.
Oh.
But I loved it. I love the execution of it, of him being, like, not counting in English and not, like, doing anything like that and just beating the fuck out of AJ.
Yeah.
Now 50-50 booking tells me AJ retains. But
probably.
Oh, we'll see.
I'm
interested, and a last man standing match means there's going to be physicality.
True.
So, and there's going to be no, oh, two guys kick each other in the nuts. I mean, I guess you could still both
count they're going to kick each out. Other in the nuts.
Yeah. I know, but that, I was going to say that can't end the match. I guess technically that
could still
end
it could. The match.
Because if neither one can answer the 10 count.
Then it's over.
Which is exactly how that last match ended with that. Both of them neither
that's
one.
That's exactly, yeah. Count. That's a very possible scenario.
I want to see a super kick to the nuts.
Oy.
Like, when they're on something and he hits him so much, you're like, oh, he falls off of something, like Shane O'Mac style.
Yes.
Of the Titantron.
Now,
bring back the Titantron just for that.
Longtime viewers of HWR and other longtime hosts of HWR knows exactly what this spells out for Abel. I hate last man standing matches.
Oh, man. I mean, it'd be an awesome match.
They're the worst stipulation, in my opinion, in the WWE playbook. And it's mostly because you got to get to a 7 or an 8 or even a 9 count to have a near fall. And it's just like, okay, you're going to have a big spot that's obviously not going to end the match.
Yeah.
It would usually result in a 2 count, but hey, it's just 1-2 and you continue going and you don't lose your pace.
Mm-hmm.
But like in last man standing matches, oh, that's going to be a 7 count or an 8 count. And it's like, All right. And I feel like the pacing of last minute standing matches just fucking suck. So I'm kind of disappointed that that's what this is going to be.
Now
I have been surprised by some last minute standing matches.
Especially recently.
Yeah, some last minute standing matches have made me go like, all right, that was a good match.
Yeah.
And that was good last minute standing match as well. Hopefully, if anybody can pull off a good last minute standing match, it's AJ and Shinsuke Nakamura. Yes. Hopefully, to disprove my already, like if we were doing our preview episode right now, I would have gone from like a 9 to a 7 just because of the stipulation. You know, so hopefully, you know.
Yeah.
We'll see.
What kicked off SmackDown was The Miz in a Miz TV where he's over as fuck.
Yeah, yeah.
Dude, he can't buy heat right now with like he's over, man. Everyone loves him. He started whenever you start chants, usually they don't go well, but they started chant, they went well. And then he brought out the New Day and he like told them everything good about them and it was and then he told them their downfalls and everyone was like, yeah, what the fuck? But I thought he highlighted the New Day too much where he pumped them up so much that you're like, hey, you know what? Yeah, you thought like, oh, you know what? Yeah, they are believable, man. They are, they're all, you know, legitimate contenders.
Mm-hmm.
And we got Big E versus The Miz, and fuck, right. That was a good ass match.
That was a really good
match. I always
that's a candidate for me.
I always forget that. I always wonder if Big E was that good, because when he first came to the WWE. He had a couple matches, but nothing really. You know, he was Intercontinental Champion, but fuck, I think I was Intercontinental Champion back in 2012. Everyone was Intercontinental Champion back in the day when it was a little belt. Mm-hmm. You might even have won the new belt. But anyway, the IC title didn't really get prestigious until The Miz recently.
Okay.
So he had his run. I remember that the New Day has been tag team. And I didn't watch NXT until 2014, 2015. So I don't know Big E Langston.
Right.
I don't know his... Yeah. You know, the 5 count and all that shit. I don't know any of that stuff.
3 ain't enough, man.
Yeah. So I was pleasantly surprised at how good he was, how crisp he was, how strong he was. Because mm-hmm. he's a short guy, but he's thick.
Yeah.
But that boy is T-H-I-C-C.
Two C's.
With two C's.
Yeah.
Maybe even 3. But that was damn good. The bar came out shenanigans. Kofi did one of the fucking coolest things I've ever seen him do where he jumped off of Cesaro's like head onto fucking Sheamus. That was so fucking cool.
I think it was more of his shoulder, but
yeah, it was fucking badass. And The Miz got the Skull Crusher finale and got on Big E one.
Robert Redland says in the live chat, that's another perfect example of playing up to the crowd. He's talking about it in reference to Miz TV with Miz talking to the New Day. And I totally 100% agree with Robert on this. The way they built all 3 members of the New Day in this was perfect. And it planted plenty of seeds for in the future. If any one of them has a singles run, I buy it.
Yeah.
And if any one of them wants to have a heel turn on the rest of the New Day, I buy it because they all have reasons to. Now, that's not saying that I necessarily want them to break up because of a heel turn a la The Shield or any other fucking pairing in WWE. It would be nice to see somebody just split and just go their separate ways because, hey, I want to go do something else. Yeah. That's it. You know, but all that being said, the opportunity is there. It could happen, and that's enough for me. That's fine enough for me.
Yeah.
Now, if it'd be interesting to see who the breakout star is going to be. You know, if it's going to be Big E, okay, great. If it's going to be Xavier, all right, that's interesting.
Yeah.
Kofi, man, I don't know if it could be Kofi because Kofi's ship may have already sailed. That may have already passed. I don't know, but fuck. Black don't crack, and if he do, holy shit, I'm going to be happy. So, man, dude, it's cool to see that Big E got a nice one-on-one, and it's showing that they're thinking about other stuff to do with the New Day.
Mm-hmm.
It's cool to think right now one of these 3 guys is going to be in the Money in the Bank match. And I know that they're going to say that they're not going to reveal which of the 3 is going to be in there probably until the fucking match starts, which I'm cool with. So there's still going to be a unit for the next 4 weeks.
That makes it more of an interesting thing.
Exactly. But what I'm looking forward to is seeing which one out of those 3 is going to be the guy in Money in the Bank. And is that guy as a one-on-one? But yeah, I know it's a fucking Money in the Bank match. So there's 8 other motherfuckers in there, 7 other motherfuckers in there. But as a singles competitor, who's... Is he going to step up to the challenge? Is it going to be Kofi, Big E, or Xavier? Are either one of those 3 guys going to be up to the challenge of having a single spot. And what if one of those motherfuckers wins?
That would be cool.
What if it's Xavier running around and Mr. Money in the Bank?
Yeah.
And that's
up, up, down, down be fucking even bigger.
Yeah.
The briefcase with them.
I'm good. You know, I know you said that you wanted to see either Finn or Braun, but I'm very intrigued. I think it'd be more interesting if one of the New Day wins it. You know, Finn or Braun, they will have their title matches. They will have their main event matches. They will have their singles pushes and singles runs, or at least they should, without the Money in the Bank. The Money in the Bank historically has been the thing where they give you this briefcase to somebody who's like on the cusp of breaking that glass ceiling out of the mid-card into the main event.
Yeah.
And that could apply to any three of the guys in the New Day. And I would like for it to happen to one of them.
Mm-hmm.
That's all I say. I'll say about that.
No, oh,
Robert Mendler says I still say it needs to be the Miz,
and that would be pretty. It would still be pretty cool. We have a new participant in the Women's Money in the Bank.
Yes, we do.
Lana.
Yes,
she's the best, and she's number one. Oh, that was cool. Fucking got a rub from Aiden English. Mm-hmm. Her song came out. She did a little too much dancing in the beginning. I was like, what's going on there?
Yes.
I wasn't complaining, but I was like, that shit got a little funky.
Tone down just a
smidge. Yeah, yeah. And then she realized, she's like, oh, yeah, let me get back to my elegance. Mm-hmm. And
natural. That little tearaway skirt thing.
Yeah. Ooh. Yeah. And the leg up whenever she gets in the ring. Yeah. She was a little too orange for my taste yesterday, though. She went a little heavy on the freaking.
On the beta carotene?
Yeah. Okay. A little Trump-esque. To me, the match was all right. She got her first victory that I could think of.
It was her first singles victory. Yes, it was.
And so she's in. The Iconics, they're doing this thing where they're having them lose, but they're still not looking too bad. They're still like pests.
Well, yeah, because they're heels.
Yeah.
So heels sometimes are supposed to always be the ones that lose.
Yeah.
I mean. Wrestling's kind of weird because if you're a bad guy, you either always win or you always lose.
Yeah.
So yeah, I want to not talk about the Iconics yet. I want to talk a little bit about Lana first.
Okay.
I just want to say this. I thought it was a little weird that Rusev did not go out there, but then I got over it because that made me realize even further. That maybe this thing is here to stay and they're not going to do this thing that they teased 2 weeks ago, which is Lana saying, hey, let's get rid of Aiden and let's go back to just me and Rusev and ditching the Rusev day.
Well, Uncle Meltzer said that he's going to do that.
Well, Uncle Meltzer, you know.
He ain't never wrong.
Well, just from my eyeball test, she's out there with Aiden English only.
Mm-hmm.
Aiden English helped her get a win, and Aiden English was being her minstrel the same way he would be the minstrel for Rusev.
Minstrel's probably not the best choice of words, but yeah.
Well, bard. How about that?
sure,
bard.
Period.
So I kind of dig it, and to me, in my mind, it solidifies that they're all going to stay together as a unit. And it's weird because without Rusev there,
yeah.
It feels like it solidified more as a unit. That's kind of weird to say, but that's just kind of how I felt about it because I think the tension was between Lana and Aiden, and Lana and Aiden both going out there having a very successful outing as a unit makes me think that
he was in their corner.
Yeah. It's like we already know that ain't nothing going to happen between Aiden and Rusev.
Yeah.
Because, you know, they're the whole shtick.
Yeah.
We already know that Lana and Rusev, they could be apart, but they're always going to be together in our hearts because they're fucking married. So the question mark, the tension was between Aiden and Lana.
Yeah.
That question mark was erased for me and answered last night.
Turned
into
exclamation. Or period, as you might want to say again. Menstrual.
You know, there's multiple meanings for words sometimes.
We got the American debut of El Ídolo, the idol. Fuck, I love Santa Anima's, dude.
Why do you say that's the American debut?
Because it debuted last week, but they were in London.
Oh!
Yeah, America first, dude.
America first.
Love it or get the fuck out.
Yeah.
Yes. So, yeah, this was the American debut. And he said as much as, like, last week you gave me some fucking bullshit, motherfucker. Again, they gave him another bullshit, motherfucker. But nonetheless, this guy kind of brought it to him a little bit.
It wasn't no jobber.
They're doing
no-name jobber.
I know. They're doing what I like, what I remember they would do at the beginnings of Aleister Black. As the jobbers, they would give you, give him, like, one more fucking offense. Two more offense. A little bit more offense in the next thing, bam. So, like... Well, you never know. I mean,
the degree of difficulty in the jobbers eventually gets up to high enough where you're not facing jobbers anymore.
He's gonna face freaking Shelton Benjamin next week. And
okay,
but yeah,
where was Shelton Benjamin last night?
I don't know. A lot of people have been off TV for like consecutive weeks lately. It's kind of weird. But yeah, I love that fucking Hammerlock DDT.
Oh, I love
it. Zelina Vega is still like right in this corner, fucking solid as fuck. Good to see she made no blips of the little thing that happened to her on Monday. They leaked her nude, and they leaked Paige's shit. Paige was up also there too. She didn't go out there. She stayed in the back, but she dealt with the Miz and the New Day, sort of.
You know, I didn't realize that may have been the reason why Paige didn't go out there.
I realized it as I said it.
Oh. Well, see, I was actually going to comment on that by saying I like the creativity with the change in production of that. Because I like that, like, sometimes the only times that you see the general manager traditionally is when they go out there and they say, hold on a minute, players, or hey, tonight we're gonna have this.
Yeah.
Like, they go out there on purpose, somebody cues up their music, they press a button to hit play, the lights come on, and they come out there and they say something.
Yeah.
Or they're in the back on their cell phone, let me call you back.
Yeah.
And then, you know,
yeah,
you don't ever really see general managers doing their fucking work as a general manager on the fly because something that happened and they just happen to be backstage and they meet someone backstage.
Yeah.
And I fucking loved it. I loved it so much because it shows that it helps, I guess, what's the opposite of giving away the business? It helps take back the business a little bit.
Yeah.
It helps put that veil. Yeah, that veil of kayfabe.
Yeah.
It throws it a little bit more in there because, I mean, if I was a general manager and I'm in the back, I see some shit go down, I'm going to get my ass up, walk across the arena, but maybe by that time they're already in the back in the gorilla position. I'm not going to, like, go, oh, no, you need to go back. Oh, well, they already made it to the gorilla position, so I guess I can't say anything. Fuck no.
Yeah.
You're going to tell your employee what you got to tell them, and if there happens to be a camera there, so be it.
Yeah.
And there you go. So, yeah, it worked, and I loved it.
Yeah, that's I 100% agree with that. One thing I did notice – we didn't even touch on Stephanie McMahon was back on Raw
Monday. Yes.
I think halfway because Shane McMahon is not going to be on SmackDown for a minute.
What happened?
He's got surgery for his hernia.
Oh.
You know, the Kevin Owens, Sami Zayn didn't do.
Right.
But so I think if one take one McMahon out, bring one more McMahon. You got to have a McMahon.
Do
McMahon
you?
In every corner. No, you don't. But according to them, they do. If not, Triple H will be back. Not John Laurinaitis and Nikki Bella's mom will be back.
Ugh.
But yeah, I like I'm digging Paige as the general manager because she doesn't do too much, but she doesn't not do too much, if that makes sense. Like she's
okay.
Just like the perfect amount of general manager you need. I feel like Angle's Angle's a bit too much. Like they make it more about him a lot. And mostly it's just him saying his lines wrong and being fucking castrated by Stephanie McMahon. So he was castrated by her, but even when she wasn't there.
Yeah. I did enjoy – I know I just kind of made fun of this about, like, I'll call you back or whatever kind of thing. They did kind of play off of that a little bit on Monday where he was kicked out of his office and he couldn't get signal in the bowels of the arena.
Yeah.
That was funny. He was just standing with his cell phone trying to get bars.
Yeah.
That was great. Michael says Seth Rollins should have an Intercontinental Championship Open Challenge across – all platforms, Raw, SmackDown, NXT, 205 Live, all that stuff.
It's intercontinental. You can go to different continents.
I mean, if he showed up on SmackDown and threw out a challenge, I wouldn't be mad.
Yeah. I like to keep my whites and my blues and my reds separate. You know what I'm saying? I don't know. Just flag colors don't run. Anyway, Gallows and Anderson versus the Usos. Weird.
It was weird. Gallows
didn't know who's face, who's heel. Still don't know.
Yeah,
still don't know. Because Anderson was kind of like, hey, we're cool. And Uso was like, no, we're not. Like, oh, man. And that was it.
And then he called him a nerd.
Call him a nerd. You don't
nerds.
So he got triggered.
Yeah. They won.
Decent match. Yeah. The crowd popped when they won, too.
Okay.
That was a good pop for the Bludgeon
Brothers. Well, not necessarily destroyed, but I'm just happy that somebody else is going up against the Bludgeon Brothers.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm glad it's not the Usos.
The Udays and the Usos.
The Udays. I doubt that the Good Brothers are gonna get anything out of it. Yeah. I doubt that they're gonna win. They may have a good showing.
However, we haven't even seen the Bludgeon Brothers since freaking what?
At least
May? Weren't on Backlash.
There
was no tag team defense on Backlash that I can think.
Remember? Yeah. All right, whatever.
Crazy. Naomi's in the Money in the Bank. She took on Sonya Deville in a pretty good match. Sonya Deville, she's leaps and bounds way better than what she was when she started already.
True.
Like, fast. She's ascending fast.
Yeah.
She's good in the ring. She's a good source of her. She's not really over with the crowd, which is weird.
She's not.
It's very silent. It's not good music and kind of a weird intro.
It sounds like the reject music that Drew Gulak said, I'm not going out to that.
Yeah, it ain't good.
Could it also be that she's not over because people may view her as discount Ronda Rousey?
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah?
Yeah. Ronda Rousey killed Sonya Deville's fucking gimmick.
She killed her.
In the ring.
She does her gimmick better than her.
Because she lives it.
And, you know, I mean, we could say that Sonya has MMA experience and that she's trained in MMA.
That's like when we used to say 2011, oh, CM Punk trains in MMA. Look at him now.
Exactly. I mean, she didn't go into the UFC, win a bunch of matches, and become the fucking bantamweight champion.
Yeah, they had to make a belt for her.
Yeah.
I know what bantam means.
Rousey did all that shit. So Rousey is legit an MMA fighter. So
Sonya Deville was freaking Daria from Tough Enough. So
3-0 or something like that. Okay, great. But it's still nothing compared to Ronda Rousey. And it sucks because that's what they're sticking with her for her gimmick. And dude, it's gonna be too much, man. It's like had Goldberg on Raw and Goldberg on SmackDown. Like, I kind of get it. That one was on Nitro, one was on Raw, because they're, you know, different companies. It's the same company. You're going to have Goldberg and Goldberg, and then you're trying to push Goldberg. Like, it is legit. Dude, like, it's not working.
It's like having The Rock on Raw and Hooli Juice on SmackDown.
It's like having the Ultimate Warrior on Raw and the Renegade on SmackDown. Like, I mean, I'm sorry. Yeah. They need to.
Kane and Abyss.
Yes, they need to give her a different gimmick.
Yeah.
She needs a gimmick change. She can't just be the MMA girl. Because we got the MMA girl. We got the MMA girl of all fucking MMA girls already. Yeah. So no, they need to do something.
They got to do something to repackage her.
I hate to be so fucking like easy about it. Like, oh man, this is fucking obvious. Because sometimes the obvious things aren't the thing that you should do. Mm-hmm. But she's the first open wrestler that WWE has ever had, and you were trying to shove that shit onto Finn.
Yeah,
you,
who's not even gay.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah,
I think he's gay.
Well, I hope he is. But why not? Hi, Finn. No, why not just fucking throw that shit onto Sonya, man? Yeah. Give Sonya that fucking gimmick.
I won't say give her a girl that she into, but no, that'd be too much.
No, don't even do that. Nah. Just to say, hey, I am what I am. Go out there, deal with it. And you know what? If you don't like it, I'm gonna fucking kick your ass because I'm actually a badass in the ring. Yeah. You don't have to be MMA. It could just be that she knows how to wrestle and she could kick your ass and be a representative for the gay and lesbian community.
Be a star.
Yes. Why don't they do that?
They don't think.
No.
They want to put the non-gay guy as a gay guy leader.
Right.
When they had an openly gay guy before, and then they wanted to make him great again. Because he was gay, they wanted to make him great again. They're desensitizing him. Re-educating him.
Michael says this. Okay, if John Cena wins back the U.S. Championship, then he should do the open challenge across Raw, SmackDown, NXT, and do it.
John Cena, what? Where's this at? Left field is what?
I don't know. He wants somebody to defend the title against all the brands.
Brock should do it.
Because he's the universal champion. Defended all over the universe.
He needs to go to Mars. He needs
to go to Uranus.
No, that's Finn.
Oh, yeah.
Playing with Uranus.
Another match of the week candidate.
Okay.
Daniel Bryan versus Jeff Hardy. What year is this, man?
I agree.
Jesus, that was a good match.
That was a badass
selling on both ends. Jeff Hardy looks as – dude, Jeff Hardy looks as good as I've ever seen him. And I don't mean because he's agile as ever. I just mean he looks as good as I've ever seen him. Like, he looks like a star in the ring. Whether he's older, he's more seasoned, whatever. He's sober, something. He's just – he looks different, and I like it. I don't know what it is, but he's got it.
Okay.
I was legitimately willing to – if he hit that senton, I was going to be like, huh, okay, he beat Daniel Bryan. That was a good match.
Yeah.
But Daniel Bryan did the fucking most crushing knee thing.
That was –
like, he just went there and he said, bless! Oh, yeah. Man.
I don't know if it was just the placement or what, but – I mean, usually it's up and it's not that big of a deal. For some reason, this particular move, holy shit, it looked brutal.
It looked like ROH brutal.
Yeah.
I saw some gripes from some wrestling nerds on the online.
Nerds.
Some Marky Marks.
Oh, hi, Mark.
They were like, oh, you can clearly tell Daniel Bryan's wrestling style has changed. Yeah.
Oh, no shit.
Yeah.
I hope it's changed.
They didn't let him wrestle for...
sake, I hope it has changed because I don't want him fucking flying going goat. On the shelf again.
I don't want to see them flying goats, no tope suicidas.
No,
I don't want to see none of that shit.
You know what?
His moveset that he has now is power,
good enough,
and speed
and submissions.
And submission,
that fucking knee bar, heel hook, whatever the fuck they're calling it. I fucking love
it. That dragon screw,
yeah,
ouch. That should hurt.
Yeah, I mean, I'm 100% okay if he's gonna be and see this kind of works. Because they're all the same size when they're on the ground. Mm-hmm. So it doesn't matter if Daniel Bryan is, you know, 4'11" going up against 7'3" big Cass. Mm-hmm. You know, he gets you on the ground. He's going to hook your leg, hook your heel, put you in the yes lock, which I hope they didn't get rid of the yes lock because it looks like that he's just doing the leg thing. But whatever. I mean, if he has two submission finishers, fuck, good for him.
Yeah.
When's the last time a WWE wrestler has had two submission finishers? I can't remember. I can't think of one.
Sure, Madden looks awesome, bit.
Probably. But that'd be badass.
That is badass. The submission specialist. And that's really good. And Joe on commentary needs to be fucking addressed. Joe on commentary was awesome.
Yeah.
Awesome. Oh, dude. Before that, rewind. The New Day on commentary was them. First, it was Kofi, and then it was Xavier.
No, it was Xavier. Then Kofi.
They were both tagged. Them and Saxon were tag teaming on court. They were just fucking on them the whole damn time.
Yeah.
And Tom Phillips kind of had a fucky moment because they're like, "Oh, hold on, Corey, you're not nobody. You're not Michael Cole." And Tom Phillips was like, "The fuck, I'm sitting right here." It's like, "I'm Michael Cole." And I don't know. I thought that was kind of cool. Mm. But yeah, Samoa Joe not undressing them on commentary. Putting them both over on commentary.
Yes.
So he loved to fucking take on Jeff Hardy. He would love to take on Daniel Bryan. He welcomes this competition, and that's what I love.
That is like some of the best things that you could do as a heel. Put over your competitor. That way, when you beat him, it makes you look better. You don't want to beat up some guy that sucks and you,
Paul
you
Heyman say 101. They suck.
Yeah, exactly.
Paul Heyman 101.
Yeah, if you're gonna build up a guy and you beat them. Then you beat up a guy that's good that you even think is good, and if you think he's good, and if he thinks he's good, and then all of us think he's good, and you beat him, well, then guess what? Goddamn, you're good.
Yeah.
It's the business, people.
Fantasy booking?
Yes.
Okay, we'll get to the end of the match. Two
Trying to celebrate.
Trying to celebrate instantly. Brian, I'm going to fucking destroy you next week.
Yeah, don't be celebrating.
Yeah.
Because that means you got me.
Yeah, yeah. So that ends it. That's badass. Next week, we're getting Joe versus D-Bry on SmackDown. Winner of that is in the Money in the Bank. Mm-hmm. Everyone wants to say, oh, yeah, Daniel Bryan. I hope he wins. He's our guy. I want Joe to win.
The Money in the Bank?
I want Joe to win this match. And if he's in the bank, I'm pulling a Corey Graves and saying he's my pick after saying Finn and Braun should win. Dude, having Joe control the briefcase after he wins it, taking off the towel and all that shit, putting him back in suits like how he first came out. Dude, okay. With a briefcase.
Made of Mafia Joe. Okay.
Dude. Yeah. I'm buying that shit.
Okay. What I would like to see.
And no surprise cash-ins and teasing. Just to
You took the words right out of my mouth. I don't want him doing the Ziggler and Carmella tease for half a year, like going out trying to cash in and oh no, yeah, yeah. No, I want him like get it. Okay, thank you. Wait like maybe a week, maybe a month, something like that. Short period of time. Here you go. Bring the bell. I'm gonna fuck this guy up, and then have a match. And even if that happens and he doesn't win. I'm okay with it. Because Joe is such a badass motherfucker that he would be the heel. Yeah. He would be the heel that would be like, I'm cashing it in and not do the surprise.
Yeah.
You know? And that's okay. I'm cool with it. You know, if we want to talk about people putting over your opponents and kind of reversing off of that, I want to talk a little bit about Carmella.
Yeah.
Carmella had a nice little backstage where she was like being asked if she's afraid of Asuka. She's like, I'm not afraid of Asuka. I beat Charlotte. I beat Charlotte twice. And she beat Asuka. So that makes me better than her. It's the exact opposite of what we were just saying about Samoa Joe. The exact fucking opposite. Oh, but it was great because it got me rolling laughing and it gave her more heat. Carmella, so when she gets her ass whooped.
God damn, she's the shit, dude.
Yeah, the reverse psychology on what I just expounded upon Joe, it works with this because it makes her look too overconfident. So whatever she says, we know is a lie. Yeah. So that makes us think, yeah, Asuka is better than her. Mm-hmm. So when Asuka kicks her ass, it's like, yeah, that's what's supposed to happen. But what if Carmella actually wins? Because we in our mind are thinking, yeah, Asuka's better. But if Carmella beats Asuka, holy shit, she beat the girl who's better than her. How the hell did that happen?
Yeah.
So, brilliant.
Yeah.
Brilliant.
Yes, yes, yes.
At least he won't win. Going back to Joe, at least he won't Corbin the briefcase.
Yes.
I hope not. No. All right.
He'll keep his hair.
Keep my hair. All right. What else we got from SmackDowns?
From SmackDown, that's pretty much it. They condensed. See, their two-hour shows are impactful.
Okay.
They're good. And that would be that should be Raw saying, okay, man, we have 3 hours. If we could do what they do in 2 hours, we should do what they do in 3 hours. Keep it fresh, keep them full of shit to fucking watch. No
full of shit.
No rethreads, no nothing. Just fucking bring it. But they don't. But I love wrestling, so I'll watch it.
Okay. So SmackDown done.
Yes.
All right. I did not watch 205. Did you watch 205?
No, I haven't seen it.
Oh, okay. Well then we'll skip 205 this week. what about NXT?
NXT, I went and watched it Wednesday night last week. As soon as I left, I watched it, and I told you the next day. It was so interesting how we had a bunch of questions at the end of last week for NXT. Like, oh man, what are they gonna do with freaking Tommaso and Gargano, and what are they gonna do with freaking Dakota? What are they gonna do with this now? But we'll see what we're gonna, you know, Velveteen and Ricochet. Geez, what are all these questions? They did what they never do on NXT. And they give you the fucking answer the next week.
Yeah.
It's always like, oh, yeah, cool, Ricochet, cool, awesome. I'll see him in a month.
Yeah.
No, this time we saw Ricochet and Velveteen, which was, boy, this close to being my match of the week pick.
Yes.
I was there.
And I know I
was
why already there.
My pants were off. I was getting ready to go. I was fucking lubing it up. Oof. Ooh, that match was fucking superb, dude. Mm-hmm. This – there was a point in that match where it was like freaking the other guy, Zack Sabre Jr. Was Zack Sabre Jr. or the other guy he always does shit with? A British boy.
Well, there's Zack Sabre and
the other guy. I always get them.
Will Ospreay. Confused.
Will Ospreay. It looked like a Will Ospreay Ricochet match for a little while. Where they do the thing, the coordinated stuff.
Okay, okay.
It was good, but like a big ass fucking Will Ospreay. Black Ospreay.
A velvet. Velvet Ospreay. Velvet Ospreay. Yeah, I mean, I can see where you're going with that. I mean, it's obviously not to the level. And there was just, you know, a few spots, and it was enough spots for me to be like, yeah. Okay, good job. Good job, Velveteen. I was impressed by the jumping and the rolling and then the trying to hit and then doing the dive, but feigning the dive. And then, you know, oh, wait, where is this guy? Mm-hmm. You know, jumping back in the ring, doing the pose where I was next to you and fucking locking eyes. Mm-hmm. It was all brilliant.
Yeah.
All it made me do was make me want more. And you know that I've been sitting on this show for the last, I don't know, few months. Singing the praises of Lars Sullivan.
Mm-hmm.
That was the first time that when I saw Lars Sullivan, I was like, no! I like Lars Sullivan, and I was pissed off to see him.
Yeah.
Which is good, because he's a heel, and you're supposed to be pissed off when you see him. And I was pissed off, but it also makes sense. Like, after that original, fuck, Lars, damn! Yeah. After that original feeling subsided, I was like, oh, because okay, these two little schmucks are over here trying to like, oh, I should be the NXT champion, when you got the 600-pound elephant named Lars in the room who's ready to kill all of them.
Yeah,
it's like, yeah, that guy should be the next number one contender for the NXT title. So what's gonna happen here? Are we gonna have those three? Is somebody else gonna throw their hat in the ring? Are they all gonna rumble and just kill each other? Is Alistair just gonna sit back and y'all figure it out, or is he going to jump in the mix and be the defending champion? I'll defend against all you motherfuckers. We gonna have like a 4-way or a 5-way or something crazy. I don't know, and I'm excited.
Yeah,
that's a good thing.
Yeah, that's a really good thing. NXT is pulling a lot of good shit out of their ass right now. Mm-hmm. The fucking show started with fucking Tommaso Ciampa just healing it up again. We were saying, what are they gonna do? It started with Johnny's song, right?
Yeah, he came out to Johnny's music,
motherfucker. Man.
He just walked out there all slow, turned around, and
he has a tiny hand. He has a little hand.
He does have a little hand.
It's weird. Like, I wouldn't do the hand thing if I was him.
I think that's why he does it. Creeps people out.
Small hands. Him and freaking Candice LeRae, though, they had a little fucking, you know, stare down, and
she slapped the shit out of him,
dude. Like, it was fucking brutal. But I'm still kind of up with that. Questions. What's coming of this?
I don't know. I mean, you said that, oh man, this NXT answered a lot of questions.
Yeah,
that was not one of them.
No, that was not.
That was still a prolonged. But it
furthered
question.
The fuck out of that storyline.
It furthered it a little.
Yeah.
I don't think it furthered the fuck out of it, because all it said was Candice is still mad. Well, we knew Candice was mad.
No, you know? Candice was afraid.
Now she's mad.
She's angry.
Okay, I give you that.
I'm a woman, hear me roar, you know.
Yeah. Shit. But I mean, what the fuck she gonna do? She can't get into a match with Gargano. Or, not Gargano. Ciampa.
2018, buddy, me too.
I don't know, man. WWE, I don't know.
We'll see. For as fine as she was looking, I'll tell you who was the finest looking. Kona Reeves. The finest.
Get the fuck out of here.
God, that was so terrible, dude.
Okay,
oh,
good.
Oh, my God.
I was about
to. They need to stop. Yes. It's not working.
Yes.
It's still working a little bit. Now, it's not working 100%. There's a little part of me that's like, okay, I think I see something, but not enough.
It gets you to boo.
Yes.
It gets you to boo. That's the rest of it. It like
he's
it doesn't
not
fit.
Aesthetically
it's not
pleasing as a wrestler.
There's nothing about him that screams the finest.
Mm-mm.
He's not like super good looking, so it doesn't work there.
No.
He's not the best wrestler, so it doesn't work
not
there.
Even close.
He doesn't have the best entrance, so it's not there. He's not a good speaker, so it's not there.
He has a move that looks like an accident.
However. The one thing that I did like was the Hawaiian drop.
It's a Samoan drop, except you're facing down instead of back up. Yeah. I kind of like that.
The Hawaiian drop.
That's the one thing that I was like.
I like that elbow. It looks like he's like, trust fall.
Oh, when he gets up and just falls back. Yeah, that was kind of funny.
I'll tell you,
they gotta tweak this shit out of this. You gotta start
somewhere. I hated the Drifter. I love it, and I didn't like Elias Sampson. Yeah, but I walk with Elias now.
This is an Arnold complaint, so I can't believe I'm saying this, but the no knee pads down by the shins bother me on him.
What the hell is he doing?
Because if he's trying to be the finest, it doesn't really look right because either his knee pads aren't fitting, or he's just a dumbass wearing them in the wrong spot. It looks like
he has long tube socks.
And his trunks look like they don't fit right. Like they weren't cut right. Mm-hmm. And I don't know exactly if that's like they didn't put the logo where it should be, higher up or lower, or is it just too loose or is it too tight in a certain area? I don't know. It just doesn't look right. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, he's supposed to be the finest. You know, he doesn't have – he's not Ted DiBiase. No. They try to say that he's like Ted DiBiase. He's not, because they tried to spare no expense to make sure he had all the nicest looking shit, and he did. Right now, this guy looks like discount store Ted DiBiase.
Yeah, he's great value.
He's Ted DiBiase Jr.
Yeah, yeah.
It's not working.
I don't like it. But a guy who keeps climbing the ranks of – I hope he's not another Cesar Bonanni. Dude, Raul Mendoza. God damn, that boy can fucking wrestle. That dude can fucking, he brings it. I love watching him whenever he finally gets his that boy can get his ass whooped. I'll tell you that much. That boy can get his ass whooped. He knows how to fucking make an ass whooping look good.
Hey, sometimes that's the name of the game. You got to have good hands sometimes.
Yeah, man.
So would you like to see, and I'm just going to spitball in here, would you like to see Bonanni and Mendoza team up someday?
I'd like to see them fight each other one day.
Okay.
I like to see Mendoza push.
Okay.
And just the beginning of every match, or somebody in the crowd just go, Mendoza!
Mendoza!
You gotta have it, man.
Yeah.
You gotta have it.
All right.
Man, the Undisputed Era just keeps getting better and better.
Yes, sir.
Fuck, dude.
Six-man tag Undisputed Era versus the UK champ. Pete Dunne, Oney Lorcan. Which one? The only one we got. Oney Lorcan. And Birch.
Signed WWE. Yes. Tony Birch?
Danny Birch.
Johnny Birch?
Danny.
Danny Birch.
What's Danny it? Birch. Daddy. Danny.
Daddy Birch.
Not Daddy.
Danny. Hell of a match.
Yeah. That, sir, is my match of the week pick. It's my match of the week pick. I mean.
Defend it.
We could make arguments for other matches. I don't feel super strongly about it. You might be able to sway me, but it was a match I had the most fun watching this week. And it caught me by surprise with the people who won. I totally thought Undisputed Era would make quick work of these guys, but they didn't. Mm-hmm. And I loved the way they were taunting Pete Dunne and trying to get Pete Dunne to fuck up. Yeah. But he wasn't fucking up.
Mm-mm.
And
ice cold runs his veins.
Exactly. Yes. And that's something that I find so impressive about him. Either it's kayfabe or not kayfabe. Mm-hmm. I don't know. But I find it impressive that he's so fucking young, yet either they coached him well enough and they're writing story well enough for him to where he's wise beyond his years,
mm-hmm.
or he just as an individual is actually wise beyond his years in this business.
Yeah.
And it makes sense because he's not getting rookied out there, mm-hmm. you know? He kind of, you're going to like this, he kind of looks like baby goat Deshaun Watson, where he doesn't look like he's doing the shit that he shouldn't be doing.
Yeah.
You know, he doesn't look like it's his first year out there and he hasn't learned the playbook yet.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he already knows what the hell's going on, and I'm very impressed by him. And, of course, I like Birch and Lorcan.
Yeah.
I really do.
Just some of the moves that they were using, especially towards the end, were cool. That double blockbuster.
The stomp on the arm. Just like what's her name does.
Baszler
does. Yeah. I liked it. And sure, you can say, oh, they stole it or whatever. And I don't care. They did a good job. They made it look good. And they incorporated it into the match. Mm-hmm. I liked it.
You know, we're talking about stealing moves. Stone Cold Stunner. The RKO. You know where that all came from?
Nowhere.
John Laurinaitis.
Oh.
Johnny Ace, baby. Oh, okay. That was his move. So, yeah, no matter who does it first is who does it right, mm-hmm. who does it best. The double blockbuster was pretty cool.
That was cool.
The wheelbarrow DDT, which I think won the match.
I believe that did.
Yeah, it was just good, dude. It was good. It was solid, like, fighting.
Yes.
But it didn't bury either team. Like, the right team won because the Undisputed Era, they're still, you know, they got undisputed. Going together. They're still undisputed. The only question I have of the Undisputed Era is how long Bobby Fish is going to be out, if he's out at all anymore. Because, you know, they hold to do the whole tape thing. This is where Chris, Mr. Spoiler, probably already knows that Bobby Fish wrestled last week or something like that.
Yeah.
But I got to wonder, when he's healthy, is he like, okay, hey, you, give me my belt. I was the tag team.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's freaking Fish and O'Reilly, not freaking Strong and O'Reilly.
Yeah.
So get out of here.
Maybe.
You got to wonder if that's the first, you know, dissenter.
And if it is, I'm cool with that because that's a built-in feud with wrestlers that I care about, which
everyone
is
in tough that for me to say about Strong. Stable is good to me. Fish, right now, he's the least because he's hurt. But that's not his fault. You know what I mean? Whenever he was on, he was on. Adam Cole, baby, dude, he doesn't have to say anything, and he's fucking good. He lifts up his hands, boom. But also in the ring, he still brings it. And he has that charisma. I love it. Roderick Strong, this is the best I've seen from him because of this. Like, just like this. You give him the charisma of the Undisputed Era.
Yeah, you give him the charisma of the Undisputed Era, and he's acting like a heel, and it worked. He did that in the match where he was trying to goad and taunt Pete Dunne, and I kind of liked it. He wasn't, well, like you said, vanilla.
Yeah,
I love it.
Yeah.
Robert Medlin says he's doing DDP yoga. Are you talking about Fish to rehab? Is that who you're talking about? I'm not sure. But yeah, I mean,
yeah,
it was good.
And the fucking national treasure, Kyle O'Reilly, the gift that just keeps giving.
I loved it. Oh, was it Birch? It was him and Birch. When Birch was like, "Come on, Tone," to like get up after he got him down.
Yeah, yeah.
And he was like, "No, you come on. I'm sitting on my ass, but I'm in a fighting stance. On my ass, like fucking Lei Wu Long from Tekken or some shit. Like,
come on.
You know, where it's like I'm gonna fight from the ground. Okay, Foldo, get your ass up. You know, but dude, he tried to like pull stuff off doing that.
Every match he's in, he's a fucking delight. Whether he's selling. His just air guitar while holding the belt, walking down with the fucking, that's my ringtone. I love that song that they come out to.
Yes, he was talking about Bobby Fish doing the yoga.
Ah, cool. What did he have? Knee injury?
Was it a knee? I think it's a knee. Crutches. Robert, was it a knee?
I don't know. What, yeah.
Some sort of lower extremity?
It's got to be a lower extremity because he had crutches.
A groin area.
Well, something, but I'm interested to see what's going on this weekend. I forgot what they teased for the match was. I know there was an something interesting, but I forgot what it was.
I don't even remember. Whatever.
I'll probably watch it if not tonight, tomorrow.
I'll probably see it next Wednesday.
Yeah, I got this thing of watching it earlier now, but I like it because the main thing for me is avoiding spoilers. You know, Twitter. Like, fuck! It means I'll ruin it for me next Wednesday. But right now, I'm telling you, I'm reading the rundown because I don't remember. It was a fucking week ago. So I have to, you know, refresh my memory again. But I love watching it just sooner now.
Okay, what about your girl?
Dakota Kai. I was reading on the rundown. She wasn't on there, but I know she was on the show.
She was. She was outside doing one of those weird NXT press interviews where it's like a bunch of people with their phone cameras. And she was like talking about, and then Nikki Cross sticks her phone in like, fight. Yeah. When are you going to fight her? Huh? You got to fight her. You got to face your fears and fight her. Yeah. Are you going to fight her? What are you going to better fight her? You need a fighter. Like, whoa, calm down. Yeah. Like,
it's interesting to see where that's going because if you follow social media, that's what the matches were this weekend for the most part. Either whether they be in three woman tag or singles or tag teams, Dakota Kai was fighting Shayna Baszler, all Oklahoma, Dallas, San Antonio, Houston. If you went to NXT Houston, you're lucky as fuck. Because I heard, like, I've just seen just some of the pictures, and it looked like a badass show. But I'm guessing that's what they're building to, a Dakota Kai, you know, David versus Goliath feud.
Torn ACL and MCL on Bobby Fish.
He ain't calling back soon.
Well, the ACL and MCL isn't what it used to be. That used to be something that would take you out forever.
7 months. 7 to 9 months,
It's already been, like, what, 2, 3?
He ain't coming back for a while.
Okay.
Look at Ciampa. Ciampa went out exactly a year ago today.
Yeah, and he's still wearing a brace.
Yes. So
I bet you he's doing that just for gimmick purposes. That way he could choke people with it.
Maybe.
Like old Bob Orton carrying around the arm brace for fucking 2 years.
Or D'Lo Brown with that chest protector. Chest protector. Damn, I didn't know it was that severe. That sucks. That's a derailment right there.
Yeah. Well, I mean, but, Brennan had that.
Yeah. And
he was fine.
Was he?
Well,
I mean, he never.
Eventually. He's wrestling now.
Wrestling now.
He's wrestling. He's not on the Texans anymore, but you know, he's fine.
Yeah.
No. Is that everything from NXT?
That's everything from NXT.
All right. Michael Network says, I heard that the pay-per-views will be 4 hours.
4 hours.
And that the big four will be 5 hours.
5 hours.
You're somebody who likes wrestling. So I love wrestling. Is this okay for you?
I already watched the 4 hour show with the pre-show. So
are that we means it's going to be another hour. Yeah.
And then 6 hours? Maybe that's a bit much. Well, no, because I like wrestling. I don't like pre-shows. Pre-shows are just... That's literally just filler.
It has a little bit of wrestling.
One match, maybe, if we're lucky.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's... I don't know how I feel about that. I'm okay with it because the more matches, the better. I'm okay, especially WWE has like 17 titles right now. Yeah. Everybody has a title. So
I have a title, apparently.
You basically make every single title, every single pay-per-view a Night of Champions style.
Yeah.
Where all the belts are defended.
Okay.
Except, you know, Brock's belt.
All right. So
the Brocktinental title.
I guess that's it for WWE. I guess we're done. New Japan had something kind of interesting come out this past weekend. Now this is probably a conversation I should be having with Chris. I don't know if you even watched this. Did you see the profanity riddled promo that Jericho did?
No.
All right.
No, lost. What's
Jericho. Jericho cussed out. Oh, what's his name? On a promo. Yeah, Naito. Cool. I mean,
yeah, they're not PG.
Yeah, that's not PG. He fucking swears like a sailor. All right. Yeah.
I know.
I mean, most swears like us.
But yeah, in New Japan, it's common to just cuss out. What's his name? One of the fucking Tongas from Bullet Club. God, yeah, he cusses like a fucking sailor.
Yeah,
every single time.
I'm cool with it. Shit.
I'm okay with it. Yeah, I'm okay with it.
It's
natural.
Again, this is kind of a conversation for Chris because Chris always really gets really excited for New Japan.
Yeah.
And it's not that I don't like New Japan. I really do like it. It's just I don't pay attention enough to it as much as I should because my plate's already full. I got enough fucking... Yeah. Steak and mashed potatoes and collard greens and all that.
We gotta watch the HWR stuff.
We
have full time jobs.
Yeah,
we're married and I have a little girl, so it's a little hard for me to fucking keep up with it. I watch what I can.
Yeah,
I watch the big stuff. You know what I mean? I love what I see. That's why I'm a big fan.
Whenever I do make an attempt to see it, I do.
That's
like
why
it.
I justify myself wearing Bullet Club shirts because I love the Bullet Club. I love to justify myself fucking out if. The first chance I get, I would buy a fucking, like, any kind of other New Japan shit that's not Bullet Club. Just because I love the product. I love watching just a different variety of things. That's what I've always believed. That the more the plethora of stuff out there, the better the competition, the better the quality for everybody else. If you just have the two big fishes, and it's like, okay, yeah, I don't want to watch the players. You know, they're not going to fucking compete too much or whatever.
Competition is good in wrestling.
Mm-hmm.
Now, as far as, you know, like, it's cool to see on Facebook a promo, and it was a good promo, and it's Jericho, and I fucking love Jericho, save us, Y2J. You know, I got this shirt fucking WrestleMania 24 10 goddamn years ago.
We have the list of Jericho up there.
Yeah, that's our fucking delivery list that we use here at work. Yeah, it's the list of Jericho. So, yeah.
I just realized you can see the bear from Breaking Bad on my side of the desk.
Oh, yes, there it is. Yeah. So, I mean, it's cool. But one promo isn't enough to like make me well informed.
Yeah.
You know? So, and I kind of feel bad about it. And I kind of also don't feel bad about it, but whatever. So it is what it is. I'll let Chris talk about that whenever he comes back, if he wants to talk about New Japan stuff. So, that's that. This past weekend, I guess we're wrapping things up here. This past weekend was Russell Fawn. I posted that up on our HWR page, also my personal page. If any of you tuned in during Russell Fawn weekend, thank you so much. We had the most successful Russell Fawn we have had in the 5 years of it being a thing. We raised a little over $6,000. So that was really, really cool. We doubled basically what we did for the first couple of WrestleThons. And the goal for WrestleThon has always been do more than what we did last year. And that's exactly what happened for WrestleThon 5 here. We did have lifetime now. We're at like very, very close to 15 grand raised. It was 14.6, I believe, is the total lifetime over all the 5 years that we've been doing it. So it was really awesome being a part of that. So if you guys watched it, thanks so much. If you contributed, thanks so much. You can still go on and contribute. You go to WrestleThon.com. You can find that on there. You can still donate to Child's Play Charity. For those of you who don't know what the hell I'm talking about, WrestleThon is a stream that we a friend of mine started. His name is Jake. It's on Twitch, where we play wrestling video games all weekend long. And while we're doing that, we're taking donations for an organization, charitable organization called Child's Play Charity. The money that they collect, they use to buy toys and video games and stuff for children's hospitals and domestic abuse shelters and things like that. So that's where all that money's going to. So it was really awesome. We look forward to doing it again next year. We're also going to have, they are going to try to do something close around SummerSlam time. So we'll try to plug that as best as we can here. So that was that, and it was great. So yes. So shout out to Jake and all the crew from WrestleThon. This weekend, we talk about wrestling.
Yes.
And competition's good. And if it's just the big two, it kind of sucks. And you need to have, other stuff going on. This weekend, DCW is having a show on Sunday.
Sunday.
Not Saturday.
Sunday.
I am correct this time.
Day of the Sun.
Yes, the Day of the Sun. At 4 p.m. at the Elks Lodge in Katy, Texas. So, yes, it's an afternoon event this time. So, yes, matinee, I guess. So please come on out to the Elks Lodge in Katy, Texas if you get a chance to. We very much appreciate it. We're trying to do a whole lot of stuff there at DZW, and it's great to just see what you got going on in the local independent scene.
Yes.
And
find out, Richie, you don't have to be an elk to go to the lodge.
That is true. The last event that we had 2 weekends ago had the debut of one of the students from the DZW Dojo, and he did really well against another one who's had only like his fourth match or so. So they're going to try to lock horns again. We may have some more of the students come on up, and it's really cool because I know sometimes some of you guys kind of get burnt out. I know there's some people who get burnt out on local independent wrestling. Oh, I've seen all these guys. At DCW, we're starting to have new people that have been groomed by the DCW Dojo itself that are just getting put onto the main roster there for the shows. And it's something new that some of you haven't seen any of these guys before. And it is freaking awesome to see them at their infancy do amazing stuff in the ring and put on matches that you wouldn't necessarily know that they're rookies. So, yeah, please come check it out. There you have it. I guess that wraps it up for tonight. Thank you so much for tuning in. Adios, my friends. Keep it classy.